This is episode 42 of the Mentally Ill Mentor podcast. Hey there, everybody, from beautiful Cardston, Alberta, Canada. My name is Dave Miller, and welcome back to the Mentally Ill Mentor podcast, where we discuss the secrets of how you or someone you love can begin winning the battle with depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide, and all kinds of other mental health challenges. And can I just tell you, I love you, I believe in you, and I so much appreciate you being here again with me today. And after my own personal battle with these things, depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide, and lots of nasty stuff, can I just tell you, I am now on an all-out mission to guide you and as many other people as I can in creating a life of lasting hope, happiness, and purpose. So thank you for being here with me again today. And if you're not feeling a lot of hope, happiness, or purpose, in fact, if you're not even feeling a lot of hope, stick with me. There have been times that I have been feeling so little hope that on an hourly basis, all I'm thinking is, how can I get up the courage to kill myself? I used to think that on an hourly basis. And I came up with kind of how I would do it, and all the details were filled in, and it was just a matter of, I need to do this. I know I shouldn't. I need to do this. I gotta end this emotional pain. I know it'll hurt my kids. It might hurt my wife. She'd love the life insurance money. I don't think like that anymore. I'll be honest. I won't say I never have a thought about suicide ever these days. But compared to what it used to be, picture the ocean as far as me trying to swim and get to shore. And I'm like in the middle of it. Now, picture a little swimming pool, and I'm in the middle of it, but it's not that deep, and I'm doing okay. That's the difference. Today is day 3 of Diary of a Deeply Depressed Dad. This is Saturday in February at 11 p.m., again, this is my actual diary that I kept in order to kind of try and manufacture hope and to do what I felt that Viktor Frankl talks about, kind of to do the same thing when he talks about how he was in this Nazi death camp and he had to figure out a way to manufacture hope. And the way that he did it was to think about a time in the future when he would be out of that death camp and back where he belonged in his homeland and would be in front of his students at his university lecturing about the very experiences he was currently going through. And thank God he made it through. And we know that he wrote this like major best-selling book all about it, Man's Search for Meaning. If you've never read Man's Search for Meaning, read it. It's an incredible book. So, I was able to begin lessening these intense feelings of suicide for myself by starting this diary. This is just day 3, but I got to tell you, folks, also, I believe this will work for you as well. So, if you're feeling intense thoughts, having intense thoughts, and having these feelings of, oh, I just don't know what to do. The emotional pain is so deep. I just want to die. I highly recommend starting a journal, doing the same thing, and then thinking about the day when you can share this with others. These terrible, horrible, awful feelings and thoughts you're having right now, and it'll help take the punch out of them. Okay, so let's just jump into it. Diary of a Deeply Depressed Dad. This is in February, 11 p.m., day 3. Very hard day today at first, and I've got very underlined. Very hard day today at first. I don't know exactly what to highlight, but I'll try my best. First, I slept in, or at least hibernated in bed, until just after 11 o'clock when Amy came in and said breakfast was ready, or brunch. I wasn't really hungry, and I didn't really want to come out of hibernation, but I did it anyways, mainly because I knew or know how much Amy dislikes me hibernating, along with the fact that I wanted to stop being a bad example to the kids. I don't recall even one time that my dad slept in on a Saturday past 8 o'clock, and I remember many mornings on a weekday when I would wake up before the rest of the family, when I used to be excited about life, and my dad would be up working at the kitchen table on files he brought home from his law office. And that was at like 5 or 5:30 a.m. Come to think of it, although he started early, he never worked past 5 p.m. and rarely went into the office on a Saturday and never on a Sunday. I believe a major reason for that was that his dad, Grandpa Rex, had kind of been a workaholic. He had gone to work before my dad got up in the morning. He did come home and have supper with the family, but then he went back to the hardware store to work on the books, I think. Anyways, from what I understand, he got home well after my dad went to sleep. I think he worked most Saturdays, though I think just till 5. And on Sundays, I don't think he always went to church, but often went and did things with his buddies. I know my dad promised he would always be there for his kids, and he always was. And for that, I am very grateful. Little side note, my dad passed away about 7 years of cancer. Okay, back to my diary. Although I know now that my dad struggled with depression pretty much his whole life, he did a pretty good job of hiding it, at least from us kids. Although I know I wasn't really aware of what depression was back then. Sadly, I know our kids are well aware of how depression is affecting me. Like when Katie comes into our bedroom close to noon some Saturdays and innocently asks, "Dad, when are you going to get up?" I am worried I am laying the foundation for depression and depressive behavior, like Saturday morning hibernation, in our children. I'm worried that, well, maybe they'll see it as halfway normal. I haven't always been the lazy slug I feel like right now, though, and that makes me feel better. On my mission, and this, just side note, two-year mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this was in Australia in 92 to 94. Okay, so here's back to word for word out of my diary. On my mission, I got up at 6 a.m. consistently, 7 days a week, for all 2 years straight. And that was half an hour earlier than the mission rules said we had to get up. Then, after Amy and I were married and I was in university, I followed my dad's good example and often arrived at 7 or 8 a.m. to study. Then I would study and complete assignments in between classes. At 5, I would pack up and go home. And for much of that time, when Thomas was our only child, Amy and I would get up at 5 a.m. to do a paper route before I went to school. Man, those were the days. Anyways, again today, writing in my journal / diary helped me detach somewhat from the intense emotions I felt for much of the day today. At about 2 o'clock, Amy and I, Katie and Joe, headed to Pincher Creek to go swimming in their very nice indoor pool. Nearly the whole time I drove, close to 1 hour, all I could think about was, as I've said before, how much I wanted to die. Last night, Amy and I had a good chat on our date, alone in the van in the church parking lot. She talked about how stressed she feels due to me not having a job and due to the fact that it doesn't look like I'm going to be bringing in money other than working our business for now, which is pretty slow this time of the year. She cried a bit, which always pulls at my heartstrings, but for whatever reason, she also told me she doesn't really care to spend time with me, and that she really just prefers working alone and being in her own thoughts. I don't think she meant to be hurtful, and I wasn't hurt at the time, mainly because I believe she needs to work through her issues with me in maybe a healthier way, like speaking to a counselor rather than keeping her understandably negative feelings and emotions bottled up inside. But as we were driving to Pincher Creek while the kids watched The Greatest Showman, and Amy was doing something on her phone most of the time, all I could think was, quote, "I just don't want to do this anymore. Amy deserves better. A doctor, a dentist, or just someone who doesn't struggle mentally and who can go to the same job year after year after year until retirement." With my record of 30 plus jobs in 23 years of marriage, and my record of being a total of 3 whole years with the same company, I really don't blame Amy. I remember now that she said her wanting to be alone was more her way of dealing with stress, and that in the past, when my health has been good, and so has our income, she has enjoyed spending time with me. Understandably, she repeated last night the fact that security is her number one need. Financial security. And if I was to be pulling my weight in that department, her deep feelings of fear and emotional pain would not exist. And so, as we drove, all I could think, as knots filled my stomach due to my deep feelings of inadequacy, was, maybe I really need to just buckle down and have the courage to kill myself and bring Amy the financial security she needs, understandably. I remember even planning to write out a list of pros and cons in this journal entry, which I have done many times in my head, but have never had the courage to put on paper. But I'll do it here now. Okay, so now I've got this chart. At the top, it says suicide in all capital letters. On the left side of the paper and the chart, it says pros. On the right side of the chart, it says cons. I'll start with pro number one. And again, this is an unedited thing. It's raw. I might get a little emotional. We'll see. I'm not going to edit it out if I do. And I haven't read these journal entries for quite some time as well, so I didn't want to prepare for them. I want you to feel the raw, intense emotion. Okay, so we've got the chart. Says suicide at the top. On the left is pros. On the right is cons. Got a line down the middle separating the two. Pros. Number one, Amy gets $800,000. Her number one need is taken care of forever. Con, I'm dead. Pros, Amy now gets lots of time alone without me nagging, bugging, or whining. Con, I'm still dead. Okay, it might sound a little funny that I'm laughing at this, but to me it's funny. And you gotta laugh about these things, because they're so potentially emotionally intense. Pro, I no longer have to feel the intense shame, guilt, and often self-hatred that I currently feel for the pain I am causing Amy and our children due to my inability to provide consistently and adequately for their needs. Con, I believe strongly that the intense regret for willingly abandoning Amy and our children forever would be the very definition of what it... of what it means to burn in hell, in quotation marks. I do not believe that God would hate me, but rather would be crying with me as we watched and observed the lifelong emotional pain this decision would cause. Con, and I don't have any more pros. Thank God. Con, missing Katie, going to the temple for the first time when she's 11 in our little town. It's like a little Utah. It's like 90% members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We used to be known as the Mormons. That's like the right name of our church because we believe in Jesus Christ. Anyways, once somebody turns 11, as long as they turn 12 in that year, they can go to the temple. For those of us that are religious and believe in the temple and everything, this is a big deal. Okay, so that's a side note. Con, missing Joe's baptism in just over a year. Con, missing Julie's grad in just over a year. Con, the embarrassment Julie would likely feel with her friends knowing her dad committed suicide. Con, missing all significant events in the lives of Thomas, Harrison, Julie, Jacob, Rex, Katie, and Joe. Side note, our son Harrison got married about a year ago to a wonderful young woman. Her name is Sadie, and I would have missed that too. Man, I'm so grateful. I started this diary and I'm still alive. Con, never being able to hold our grandchildren. Con, never being able to make love to Amy again. Con, never being able to hold Amy in my arms again. Con, always wondering and probably knowing from heaven that things would have gotten better. Side note, they have. Con, missing our anniversaries and our romantic getaways. Well, like I've always envisioned writing, Well, I've always envisioned writing out the pros and cons of my suicide, but now that I've actually done it in writing, it seems pretty clear to me that killing myself would be, in capital letters, a huge mistake. And I've got a star. That said, how do I hold on to hope that things will get better? How do I respond when Amy tells me how stressed out she feels because we can barely afford to make ends meet and actually couldn't pay our bills without our monthly check from Robinhood, aka the Canadian government, in the form of a thinly disguised welfare check that is directly deposited into our bank account on the 20th of each month? How do I stop hating myself and feeling sorry for myself and just go forward and do it? Another star beside this sentence. Although I haven't figured out the answers to all those questions, I did figure out one really, really important thing today. After having a great time at the swimming pool, watching Katie and Joe swing from the Tarzan rope, jump off the diving board, after warming up in the hot tub together, then later eating at McDonald's and doing some shopping at Walmart. As I drove home and Katie and Joe finished watching The Greatest Showman while Amy did something lengthy on her phone, my feelings of depression and intense emotions and thoughts of suicide were replaced by feelings of true joy and happiness. As I reflected on the incredible change in my thought patterns between our trip there and our trip home just 4 hours later, I realized that in my heart, killing myself is definitely not, in capital letters, not something I really want to do. In fact, all things considered, including the fact I can sometimes be Mr. Drama in the way I think about my life, I really do have a dream life, minus a job and its consistent income and the huge stress this would remove from our lives. I've got, colon, and then these are the bulleted points, a gorgeous wife, 7 beautiful children, a pretty decent relationship with God, although it's taking a lot of faith to understand why he's allowing me to struggle with this stupid mental illness, a beautiful home, a small town we enjoy, a temple close by, 3 minutes, in brackets, great friends, great family, the hope that things will get better, and perhaps a new and improved realization that they simply aren't as bad as I sometimes tend to think. All my love, Dave. Last words, approximately midnight.